Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Colorado stole the show over the weekend. Deion Sanders' debut at the D1 level in a 45-42. College football is effing back. Game early Saturday afternoon. That was the best thing we saw this weekend. The worst thing we saw this weekend, if we actually watched it, which your boy did not want to watch it. I was drawn to it by my hatred of the New York Yankees, but those New York Yankees, Aaron Judge, and this new guy with the Jason with two S's, they came in to Minute Maid Park.
The Martian?
Yeah, is that what his name is, John Bellmer?
The nickname, yeah. I can't remember what his actual name is.
Let's play like more than four games before we get a nickname. Let's not be Rockets Twitter trying to give guys that haven't played in the NBA yet a nickname. Okay, let's. But anyway, Jason with 45 S's, Dominguez, and Aaron Judge, they came in and they kicked the Astros' ass over the course of the weekend. And a lot of people are pointing at decisions made by Dusty Baker. And I understand that because Dusty's been the easy target this year. And there is an argument to be made that maybe the Astros would be in better position in the AL West race if they played Yiner Diaz more than Martin Maldonado, if they played Chaz McCormick more. Totally fair. However, don't blame Dusty Baker for this past weekend. Just don't. Dusty Baker is not hitting for the Astros. Dusty Baker is not pitching for the Astros. He sometimes makes decisions as far as who does and who doesn't. But the players are the people that you need to be pointing the finger at today. I don't know why they played as poorly as they did. A lack of focus because it's the Yankees. Not a good sign that you're having a lack of focus again. Not too long after a team meeting. Probably time for another team meeting today. You don't want to have too many team meetings. Been watching this Ken Burns documentary on the Roosevelts. And everyone remembers all these Franklin Delano Roosevelt fireside chats. He only had about 30 of them. People acted like they were a weekly occurrence. No, they were rare. You can't have too many team meetings because it starts to lose its luster. But you've got to feel like they need one. You shouldn't, in the middle of a pennant race, where you could have made up ground if you just won one, if not two games over the weekend, because the Mariners lost two or three and the Rangers almost got swept. They lost two or three. Like, why was the focus missing? And it feels like that would be likely the culprit as to why they did it. They said that that was the issue when they got swept by the Mariners. Oh, it's focus. Well, if it's focus, why aren't you focused? For two teams that you played against in the playoffs, don't you hate the Yankees? Does that give you a little extra competitive juice? But again, people are going back to Dusty Baker. And I do understand the constant frustration with Dusty Baker. I just think you're wrong if you think that Dusty Baker's the reason that this weekend did not go according to plan. This was Dusty Baker when asked about on Saturday night deciding to pinch hit John Singleton for Chaz McCormick.
Against Holmes, really. I mean, this guy's tough. He's really tough on righties. And our projection said that, you know, Singleton's projected at 275 and Chaz is like 220. So, you know, you got it. I mean, you know, we lost that game long before then. You know, we were just hoping that the matchup was, you know, was good because nobody really hits Holmes. I mean, he's tough on righties and lefties, but lefties are hitting 100 points higher, you know, on OPS than righties.
So you don't want to hear that you'd lost the game already before that situation, especially when there was one runner on and you again chose, of all people, John Singleton over Chaz McCormick. In that spot, if McCormick's at the plate, do you get that hit? Do you get that home run? You probably have a better chance at it. But the way that Dusty said, like, well, it was already lost before then, that's going to rub some people the wrong way, as is putting Singleton in, period. And it's easy to focus on that moment and get angry about that moment over the macro. And I think that's what a lot of people were doing the last couple of days. I think that Patrick Creighton had essentially a manifesto up on Twitter, late hits, catch him on this radio station, I think 6 to 8 now, and Jeremy Branham in the 3 to 6 window, always a person who makes you aware of what Dusty is and isn't doing in the lineup. From the 409, at no point did Dusty Baker put the best lineup on the field. He continued to rest players in a situation that if you win one game, you're in first place. Win or lose, Dusty needs to retire. And maybe that's true. But I feel like we just don't do a very good job of big picture. This is not a justification of Dusty's decisions. I can't endorse any of them. But I also don't think that they killed the Astros. And I do think that it's important to remember that, yes, this is a situation where you could have gotten back in first place. And yes, you're very fortunate with the way the Rangers and the Mariners are playing right now. But just remember that after this series that the Astros have against the Rangers, things get very easy for the Astros. And I do think you continue to look at this as if it's a marathon and not a sprint. And some people, I think, in these situations are looking at like the decisions to rest. And they're saying, well, you could have sprinted there. Why didn't you sprint? It's a fair argument. But they lost this weekend series because Verlander sucked. He gave up 4 home runs. Hunter Brown sucked on Saturday. 40 pitches to get, 4 outs at first? He got through the fourth. There's 6 walks by the Astros pitching. The bats didn't show up on Friday. The bats didn't show up yesterday. That's why they got swept. And you could say that it's a matter of focus or something like that. But to me, it's a matter of the players have been playing poorly over that stretch, which is a bummer given how hot they were a little bit earlier last week. And this happens. It's baseball, blah, 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 you know, all that crap. I just feel like today, make sure that you are blaming everybody when you're doling out blame pie, not just Dusty Baker. Because I think a lot of people are going to come in here, and I think it's done in bad faith to say, like, oh, well, Dusty's the reason that they're where they're at. I get the frustration. I get the emotional, natural reaction to say something like that, shoot from the hip. This is how I'm feeling. But maybe I am the biggest Dusty Baker truther in the city of Houston, but I'm frustrated with those moves. I just don't think that's why they lost this weekend. And I feel like some people, like I woke up this morning and I'm looking at, you know, how Twitter has For You now. I'm looking at that and I'm just like, I don't know. I think I just got a link. Oh boy. I thought I got spam for a second. I thought my phone was about to, it's like, oh, I've been looking at a little bit too much, you know what, on the phone of late. Used to have an iPad for that. Now the videos, they just don't load anymore. Anyway, Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well. Coming up next, is Jose Altuve a part of a cult? We will decide that on the other side. And, oh my God, Big 12. Oh my God, Baylor. Stick around. I remember when we broke up, first time seeing this is it, I've had enough. Cause like we hadn't seen each other in a month, when you said you needed space. What? Then you come around again and say, baby, I miss you and I swear I'm gonna change. Trust me, remember how that lasted for a day. I say I hate you, we break up, you call me, I love you. Ever.
forever.
My friends talk to my friends talk to me. We
ever, ever, ever.
Did you ever think?
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's your host, former Shorecrest Preparatory All-District Safety, Paul Gallant.
Did you ever think that you would hear Jose Altuve and Paul Gallant do a duet together? I gotta say, Taylor Swift music is so effing catchy. Shout out to John Belmer and Rashawn Mapes putting that together. So I'm a little concerned for Jose Altuve. I'm a little concerned. Because, listen, Taylor Swift music, it gets stuck in your head. And Taylor Swift fans, I mean, you think that the MAGA people are bad, or the Antifa people are bad. Okay. I mean, you haven't dealt with a 15-year-old online Taylor Swift fan. I mean, they will hunt you down. They'll dox you. They'll do horrible, horrible things to you. Theoretically. Because all these kids, they're all dark and edgy. Oh, I'm Gen Z. I don't believe in anything. Nothing matters. Nothing's real. Except for Taylor Swift. Oh, my God. So, Jose Altuve was being interviewed in the middle of last night's Astros-Yankees game, Sunday Night Baseball, and this happened. This moment.
What is
right here.
What is your favorite Taylor Swift song?
I have two daughters, and they're big Taylor Swift fans, and they always sing in, let me remember.
Look, if you don't remember, just sing it.
Yeah, I say ever, ever, and then keeps going.
Go ahead, keep singing.
Yeah, that's all I think. That's the only thing I know.
Let you ever, yeah. Ever.
Oh no. Now, to his credit, he acted like he's not obsessed with the song. To his credit, and I feel like there is this element. You know, people call me Metro when we're putting it nice. Sometimes people accuse me of leaning another way. I do like musicals. I do like singing. But I think that Jose Altuve likes Taylor Swift a little bit more than he's letting on here. I feel like there's a little element of he doesn't want people to know that he loves T. Swift. And guys who are out there, it is okay to admit that you like Taylor Swift. Now, it is not okay to become one of these psychotic Taylor Swift fan people. I've seen some of these concerts. They make me uncomfortable. You know, just like January 6th made some people uncomfortable, seeing Taylor Swift fans and some of the videos that come out from those concerts, it legitimately makes me uncomfortable. And look, she's awesome. Taylor Swift is a extremely talented musician. I think she's great, truly. There are a lot of songs by her. I'm like, wow, good. The amount of just good songs that you could list by her where you would be like, yeah, I'd listen to that. Maybe I don't want to listen to them all in rapid succession, but I'd listen to that. There's a lot. But the levels of love that cult loves Taylor Swift scares me. It scares me. Like I feel like it's the kind of thing that could easily lead to some sort of cult and mass death. It's one of those groups. It just makes me nervous. The Jet says, I think Nick and Barry are Swifties. Sure. And let's make sure that they're mild Swifties, you know?
I'm going to say you're a Swiftie. Do you claim being a Swiftie?
I don't claim being a Swiftie. I like Taylor Swift. I don't like the fans, just to be perfectly honest. I don't like seeing people lose their bleep collectively over one person. And some people are probably saying right now, Paul, that's a little bit hypocritical. You're that way with Tom Brady. But Tom Brady is a god. It's different than Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift hasn't won 6 Super Bowls. Taylor Swift hasn't been, check that, 7 Super Bowls. Taylor Swift hasn't been to 10 Super Bowls. Taylor Swift hasn't been to a Super Bowl, in fact. And she's not going to be at this year's Super Bowl. So just important to note, like the clear distinction between a half man, half God who descended from the heavens to give me six Super Bowl titles as a sports fan and a country pop star?
Well, if she's got such a following, could she not be considered a goddess?
I mean, probably, but...
So it's the same thing.
Listen, I'd feel more comfortable around a bunch of drunk massholes that are like, yeah, dude, Tom Brady's the freaking best, dude. I'd feel more comfortable around them, like, drunk, throwing perhaps, a 12-ounce of Narragansett at somebody, which is this local New England beer. It's basically New England's Lone Star, versus a Taylor Swift, like, mob. Like, I feel like they would rip my skin off and eat my pancreas and liver if I said something like that. Like, I would just be underneath, I'd fall underneath a massive mound of tiny children. Like, we're talking tweens and stuff, and they would rip me apart and devour my body and say that we did it. They pull my beating heart out and they hold it up to the sun and they said, like, We are doing this for you. For you. I love you. And that's all the reason why I pulled Paul's heart out, put it to the sun god. Taylor Swift, you're my Lord and Savior. Like, that's what they do. Anyway, hopefully I make it home today. We did this bit on Labor Day, not coincidentally, not just because Jose Altuve had that moment. We knew there would be less people listening today. But it is a cult. I make fun of Texas A&M. No, the Taylor Swift people are scary.
Oh, yeah. It's way worse than Texas A&M.
Yeah. Like, Texas A&M people at least are good people that you don't mind.
Well.
Just, no, they're good people. It just gets weird when you watch a game with a lot of them together.
Yes.
Taylor Swift people in concert, it's like they need help. Anyway, speaking of needing help, how about the Big 12? Wow, what a transition, Dan Paul. You are so good. So, TCU didn't look so good. Their defense, and we're talking about, last year's defending Big 12 champs, the college football playoff representative. And they look good in, obviously, the first game, which they won, but in the national title, yeah, it didn't go so well. And it didn't go so well against Colorado. But at the very least, you're going up against a Colorado team that probably was not getting enough credit. 20.5-point spread for a team that lost a bunch of players to the NFL. That just, I think, was too much. And I think there was also letdown potential as well. And then that Colorado team, too, I felt like they believed they were disrespected. But let's talk about the other things that happened in the Big 12. Baylor lost to Texas State. Shout out to my Texas State Bobcat people out there. I think the Texas State, pound for pound, has the most fun people in Texas. Now, they scare me. Like, I think Texas Tech people, I would rather hang out with Texas Tech people than Texas State people because I don't know where the night's going with Texas State people. And sometimes that's a good thing, but sometimes it's a little bit scary. But shout out to Texas State beating the Baptists. Just, how do you lose to Texas State if you're Baylor? How do you lose to them? And I say this with all hate in my heart. Baylor people are the most annoying fans that there are in this state, which is saying something because there's UT, there's Texas A&M. Every now and then, both of you guys have your moments, okay? Texas Tech people are very chill and just relaxed. TCU people, they've been a little bit too uppity of late, and it was good to see them taken down a peg or two. But none of those schools are annoying on a level that Baylor people are. It's like, it's not that good of a school, relax, okay? Not that good of a super expensive school where you can't actually have any fun. And on top of that, I'll just bring you back to a moment in time where I'm at Chili's. I'm watching the build-up to the college football playoff. And this was the year that Baylor had won the Big 12, and they're feeling good about themselves. And we were having a conversation about Alabama, me and two of my buddies. One of them went to Texas A&M, one of them went to Texas Tech. And this guy comes over to us and he's like, hey, what are you guys talking about? Are you guys talking about Alabama? And we're like, yeah. So then he just goes, well, I went to Baylor. And we all pause for a second. And then we all just started yelling at him. It was a very fun moment. Because I said, like, no one effing cares. Get lost. Don't talk to us. It's a program too, that like shrouds itself. It shrouds itself in the cloak of like, we're better than you. And it's like, yeah, better at having football programs that cover up murder. Check that. That was the basketball program. Rape. And then on the football side of things, on the basketball side of things, yeah, murder. Baylor people suck. No offense if you're a Baylor person out there. You can't help who you are. But it's like, you lost to Texas State. And that, honestly, I feel like you guys should be relegated for that. Wyoming beat Texas Tech in double overtime, too. That wasn't good. But, hey, our beloved Cougs took down UTSA and Sam Houston State. First game of the D1 level. Wasn't that bad against BYU. Only lost 14-0. Not bad. But Baylor, phew, oh, boy. Ball can watch out. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. Let me tell you about my friends at mybookie.ag. Sign up today. Promo code BET975. You know what's going to happen? You're going to get a nice little sign-up bonus, and you can do whatever you want with it. Maybe you're feeling crazy. You're feeling dangerous. Maybe you saw what Travis Hunter did in his first ever college game, and you see that the odds for him to win the Heisman are plus 3,500. That's pretty low on the list. Why not? MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Five. Why not? Seriously. He had an interception. He had a couple of deflected passes. He had 100 plus yards receiving. I mean, if somebody's going to win it again, Charles Woodson won it. Was Charles Woodson really a two-way player on the same level that we saw from Travis Hunter in this first game? Now, maybe this doesn't last over the course of the year, but again, it's plus 3,500, and that's the beauty of mybookie.ag, because you can bet on that. You can bet on football. You can bet on baseball as well. There's live casino betting. There's dealers so that you can do this casino betting. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere with mybookie.ag, promo code BET975 for an awesome deposit bonus when you sign up.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude.
You know what old Jack Burton always says at a time like this?
Who?
Jack.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Astros got swept by the Yankees over the weekend. Luckily, the Rangers lost 2-3 to the Twins. Almost got swept themselves. Blew another save along the way. And the Mariners lost 2-3. So the AL West remains a race separated with three teams all within a game of one another. We'll see what happens with the Astros and Rangers starting tonight. You got your best pitchers pitching. You got J.P. France. You got Framber Valdez. You got Justin Verlander. I mean, let's actually see your best pitchers pitch the way they're capable of. And you know me with J.P. France. It's been a great story to this point. Anything you get out of him that's a positive is an unexpected surprise. I am sort of waiting for the other shoe to drop, and we've, in a way, seen it of late in the 17-1 game. People were giving him a lot of credit for the bounce-back start against Boston. I think it really speaks to the level of pitching that you've gotten from your starters this year. It just hasn't been good enough. But it is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. I think we have a Baylor texter. They lose to Texas State like the Aggies lost to Appalachian State. Stuff happens. That is whataboutism. We forget about what happened last year. A&M looked good. Connor Wigman and that offense, I didn't know that they were going to be capable of scoring 38 points. Looks like Bobby Petrino has things going, which honestly, Friday night, I was a little bit nervous for Texas A&M because Haynes King, I think he's at Georgia Tech now. Haynes King did not look bad. He didn't look good, but he did not look bad. And I was like, oh boy, that's the Jimbo Fisher effect. You escape from him. All of a sudden, you start looking good. But guys, Baylor lost to Texas State. That should never happen, especially since Baylor puts itself on a pedestal as a football program, one that I don't think they're worthy of. And there's just a confidence that people from Baylor carry themselves with, and I just don't for the life of me understand it, you know? I just don't. Another text. Hey, I'm not a Baylor fan, but I worked there as an executive chef. I lived on campus. That's interesting. I would hope that being an executive chef at Baylor would allow for off-campus housing, but okay, you lived on campus. And my neighbors had sex every day and night. Trust me, they do have fun. LOL. Okay, we got to dissect this. So I'm assuming the walls at Baylor's dorms are not that thick. Aren't you required by law at Baylor to report on anybody who has premarital sex? I'm not kidding on that front. I believe there is in the student handbook some rules about... Thank you, John Bellmer behind the glass.
Lock him up.
Lock him up. You're right. Put him in the stocks. What would the Puritans have done in the 1600s? I don't know. Scarlet letter? You didn't do your part, dude. You're at Baylor's campus and there were people having sex. Oh, they were married? Married people living in the dorms? I guess that is possible there, to be fair. But we need to unpack this. I hope that this wasn't you somehow finding a way to watch them. Like you were going outside, like getting in a bush. You're like, whoa.
They got a hobby. What is it? Voyeur? Isn't that what it's
Voyeur,
called?
Voyeur, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Some people are saying that's BYU. I think that there's something similar with Baylor. I remember because I looked this up before I went to go visit Baylor for a game last year. And I got to say, their campus, the area around the stadium is nice. The problem is you can't drink anywhere. Nothing's close enough to drink.
It's a big problem.
Right. Now, you can go a little bit further away. You can find the booze, but the lack of booze in the stadium to me was an insult to my character. How dare you make me go to a college football game or a professional sporting event where I can't have a drink? And I walked around for a while. It was warm. It was hot. And I wanted a drink. I can't believe that the amount of colleges in Texas that, you know, this great libertarian at times state that, you know, doesn't bend the knee to any federal government. And that you can't even get a beer at a football game. And you couldn't for a really long time until recently. Like, what are we doing?
Oh, well, that's why you go to the tailgates.
What if you don't have a tailgate to go to? God. Texter says, TCU was at the Big 12 champs. They lost to Kansas State. Oh, damn. Well, Big 12 taking even more losses. The Jet on Twitch asks, Paulie, if there was a Tom Brady fan mag, would you buy it? What kind of a fan mag are we talking about? Is this going to be like showing all the highlights of his career? Or is this like a sexual one? Give me some freaky music, John Bellmer behind the glass. Listen.
That's the magazine.
Oh, okay. Well, guess what? Tom Brady's highlights arouse me. Tom Brady, the man, is handsome, but that is not what I'm here for. Like, I'm here to go watch the 50 touchdowns that he had in 2007. And yeah, sometimes I need to think about that to get to where I want to go. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brian Kelly is the head coach of Louisiana State University. And we're calling them Louisiana State University because after a 17-14 lead that they had on halftime over Florida State, they proceeded to give up 31 unanswered points and ultimately lose in embarrassing fashion to Florida State. Here is Brian Kelly after the game. I'm really hoping that he said this with a Southern accent.
Again, I take full responsibility for not having our team playing the kind of football I thought they would. And our players have got to make a decision that, you know, they have to get back to the practice field and double down on their efforts and their attention to detail and their focus and the things that they need to do as well. But this is a total failure on a coaching standpoint and a player standpoint that, you know, we have to obviously address and we have to own. And we'll see. I know adversity is always going to strike at some time in this game.
Sounds even worse.
And this is our first real piece of adversity.
Oh, boy. Brian Kelly, guys. He should not have said we're going to beat the heck out of Florida State like he said, I believe, on Thursday. He said that. And Look, there's a lot of factors as to why that happened. I've long believed that there's just something when it comes to LSU where you know that they have all the talent in the world, but there's just going to be a lot of head-scratching moments along the way. It's because Louisiana people are fun. That's what I like to say. I do love Louisiana people. You're fun. But sometimes that being fun, I don't know, backfires a little bit here. If Brian Kelly said this with a Southern accent, would people be more understanding? I miss Brian Kelly with the Southern accent. That was so fun when he first came in and he started being essentially like I am with the Southern accent, just absolutely butchering the English language. What if he had said this instead yesterday? I do declare we certainly are not the football team I thought we were. And we've got to do a much better job, obviously, in developing our football team. We clearly were short in a lot of areas tonight, and that falls on me. This is a total failure. A failure. From a coach's standpoint and a player's standpoint, we have to obviously address and we have to own. We thought we were the two-time defending national champion Georgia Bulldogs or something. I don't know what we thought, but we were mistaken. If he says that with a Southern accent, are people going to be back on the Brian Kelly train? Yeah, it's not a good performance. And it's a shame because obviously last year it started slow for LSU. And then once they got the train rolling at the end of the year, you're feeling really good going into this season. But to be up 17-14 on halftime and then to have the second half just absolute collapse that they did, definitely not a good look for Brian Kelly. And I mean, you want to compare and contrast coaches. Everyone thinks Brian Kelly's a douche, but everyone thinks Brian Kelly is one of the best minds in college football. A lot of people don't think that Deion Sanders, and perhaps this is, I don't know, a little bit of racism or something like that, but they look at Deion Sanders and they don't see an X's and O's guy. They see a guy who is a master marketer and a master recruiter. And yeah, I think that Deion Sanders had the easier week one challenge, TCU versus a Florida State team. Definitely one team has more talent than the other. I would say Florida State does. But you know, if we're taking a look at like what's going to work going forward for college football and coaching, like, don't you look at a guy like Deion Sanders and wish that you had a guy like Deion Sanders right now at LSU over Brian Kelly? That's not even to say Brian Kelly's like bad, but I think you'd feel better coming out of this if you had someone like Deion than with Brian Kelly. With Brian Kelly, like, there's such a, I think, high bar for him to clear because of the expectations attached to him, but also because a lot of people don't like him. They just don't like him. And understandably so. Again, his introductory press conference with LSU, he was essentially doing what I do with a Southern accent. Well, I've always considered myself a part of the Louisiana culture, and as someone who has been raised Catholic, I identify with occasions unlike just about any other coach you had before. Oh, you'll forget all about Ed Orgeron. I know you know he's from the area, but I do declare, Brian Kelly, I am a Southern man and always have been. You're from Boston. Yes, I'm from south of Boston. No, I'm not from Southie, although many people might argue that because Southie has become a bit bourgeoisie, if you will. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Are you mad at Dusty Baker for this Astros getting swept over the weekend by the New York Yankees? And how are you feeling vibes-wise, 1 to 10? Where are you at as we head into this series against the Texas Rangers tonight? Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Insert random audio clip now.
Mr. Campbell, send out an amendment to the statement of the author. Is there objection to the opposite amendment? And the chair has done the amendment. Amendment is adopted.
This is Ron Insano with your market scoreboard report on ESPN 97.5.
U.S. markets are closed to observance of Labor Day today, a final three-day weekend before we get into the autumn.
Well, 3776.
I am at a 4 when it comes to Astros and Rangers the next couple of games, and more of it just has to do with the, I think, just complete no-show that you saw from the Astros than it does with the way that the Rangers are playing. The Rangers are playing poorly too. So the Astros are getting Texas at a very good time considering the series that they are just coming out of. But I'm at a 4 out of 10 right now. This should not happen so soon after you had another weekend sweep against a team that you played in the playoffs last year. I mean, this is twice. And crazily, the Astros are, I think 36 and 35 at home this year. Isn't that nuts? And again, home field advantage in baseball, perhaps subjective. But to have that record and to also hear the amount of Yankees fans that were there, I did not like that. I overlooked the series myself. I don't take the Yankees seriously in 2023. I don't know if I really take any non-Astros team seriously this year. But in that game, to hear how loud the crowd was when Aaron Judge finally did anything against the Astros, of course, it's when they're in last place and eliminated from playoff contention, essentially, is when it happens. That was not fun to hear. Anyway, that's where I'm at, the Astros and Rangers. We'll talk all about that tomorrow. We do have some more texts. The person who told about his experience on campus wants everyone to know he, as an executive chef, was in a condo on campus, not a dorm. I'm guessing this condo had thin walls still then. Or there was some voyeurism going on. And hey, look, to each their own. If the people are having fun out in the open and you can see it, fine. This texter continues saying, I do know Baylor has more churches on campus than any other school in the world. Huh. And he also said that I'm outdating myself by saying there are apartment condos on campuses, not just dorms. Listen, when I think of on campus, I think of dorms. You're off campus if it's a house, if it's in a condo, it's an apartment, whatever. To me, that's off campus because it's not. And they're like, oh, but it's like university condo. Shut up. Like, we're really getting down that road, Jesus. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. To call in, to text in, twitch.tv/ESPN975Z. Versace comments, they wanted the Astros and they swept us. That's Martin Maldonado. Is that what the meeting will begin with today? Astros meeting with Martin Maldonado. You can't have too many meetings, guys. You're running out of your meeting allotment. I don't think they can have a meeting after this weekend series. I think they all should know. Like, yeah, you played like ass because you couldn't pitch. Justin Verlander, 4 home runs. Dude, come on, man. You're the guy that's supposed to win the third game of this series against Texas coming up. Then after that, on Saturday, Hunter Brown stinks. And Christian Javier actually pitched well, but you still lost. And again, we have such a low bar for every Astros starting pitcher right now. That's what's honestly most frustrating about this, is that we're like, oh, well, Javier took a step forward. Well, he still wasn't the guy he was last year. And the Yankees just strike out a lot. They're basically a team that gets home runs or walks. That's kind of all they do. They can't hit. All right. What else do we have here? Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. There's some other fun things that happened over the course of the college football week. And let's dive into them in a little segment that we like to call Garbage Time. I'm only
happy when it's garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage,
it's this guy. It's Garbage Time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
Let's go.
So, did anyone see for College Game Day before the game between North Carolina and South Carolina? I guess it's the Duke's Mayo Kickoff Classic. Did anyone see the guy who risked it all for 15 seconds of fame? The man had a friend of his dump a jar of mayonnaise on him, and he proceeded to rub the mayonnaise in his body. I want to know what happened next. Like, did he shower? Did somebody hose him down? Did he go into the stadium shirtless in a body just caked in greasy, eggy mayonnaise? Ugh. He must have. I doubt this man. I bet he got a towel and wiped off all the mayo, but
you got to shower after that. Come on.
I would want to shower.
You would have to. You would feel like you need to.
I think he was bald, so that makes it a little bit better from a top of the head perspective, but that was disgusting.
How well do you think it worked as sunscreen?
I feel like it would make you cook a little bit.
I think so. Yeah.
I feel like it might actually be, John, a bit of gasoline on top of your skin. Yeah, I don't think that's going to help you out. Anyway, let's continue in garbage time. Pour one out for the great Jimmy Buffett, 75 years old. He passed away. That was a bummer to wake up to on Saturday. You know, I got to say, hell yeah. First off, if you didn't have a margarita this weekend, you better get one today. You better make up for that. I actually went on a date on Saturday, and we were going to go to one of my favorite places, Easy's. But instead, we decided to go to El Tiempo because we wanted to honor Jimmy Buffett. There will not be a second date with this one. She unfollowed me on social media afterwards. You ever met a just really... And again, I respect her. This helped her get to where she needs to be in life. She's been through a lot. But have you ever met somebody who's like really sure of themselves when and they love the astrology stuff?
Oh no!
She was speaking as if everything was a fact, and I was like politely pushing back. She said, "Oh, you can push back harder than that." And I'm like, "I don't know if I want to." But you're so sure of she's so sure of everything she was saying. And I was just like,
"That's red flags going up everywhere."
I guess so, John. I wanted to entertain more of it. But I just was like, yeah, we all got a point where we just got to quit. We were going to go to a second bar, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to drop you off. I don't think we're a match. That was fun. Anyway, also, this was sad to find out. I found out that the lead singer to Smash Mouth died. Somebody once told me the world is oh, man. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. Steve Harwell. Smash Mouth's been relevant in the last, I don't know, 10 years or so because they have a very active social media profile. Well, the years stop coming and they don't stop coming. Hit the ground running. Didn't make sense not to live for fun. Your brain gets... damn it, I don't know the words. This song and a couple of other songs by Smash Mouth, they all sounded exactly the same, but they were exceptionally catchy around 2000. So RIP Steve Harwell. He was 56 years old. Damn, he's 56. That is also a sobering moment. And on that note, I guess we're just going to wrap up the Paul Gallant Show with a little sadness. But you still have time before the end of this weekend to honor the GOAT, Jimmy Buffett. Anyway, big thanks to John Bellmer and for Sean Mapes behind the glass. Big thanks to our texters, our Twitchers, our tweeters, and our callers. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long. Farewell. Coming up next, it's Josh Beard and the Who? Josh Beard and the Dell. We'll be back at it tomorrow at 10. Until then, peace.
ESPN 97.5.com. Is it football season yet?